Everybody in this room wants to know what their purpose is. It wants to have meaning to their life. And I know that because everybody on the planet wants to know what their purpose is and have meaning in their life. I've said it before, but I think there are three things that all human beings have in common. Three things that all of us want. We want acceptance. We want a group of people that accept us for who we are. We want identity. We want to know who we are. And we want purpose. We want to know what it is that we're doing here. So today we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that last one. How is it that we find our purpose? Because while all of us want purpose, while all of us indeed, I think, even need purpose, we need meaning, a lot of us get stuck and we're not really sure we know what exactly we're doing here. So today we're just going to do three things, real simple, three things. First, we're going to talk a little bit about moms. Then we're going to talk a little bit about a guy who found his purpose. And then we're going to walk through something on that whiteboard that is really practical. Something we've touched on in here before, but we've never gone real in-depth in. Something that I think is going to help you to be able to walk out of here and to discover exactly what your purpose might be. So let me pray for us, and then we'll dive in. God, thank you for the opportunity for us to be here this morning. And God, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will guide us. Lord, I pray that you will just guide the time that we have together. And Lord, as we walk through the scripture this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see things that maybe we haven't seen before, even if we're familiar with this story. And Lord, I pray that you take the words that I prepared and that you bring them to life. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, welcome this Sunday morning to the chapel. My name's Matt. I'm one of our associate ministers. If we don't know each other yet, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet you afterwards. I'm going to be hanging out right out these doors and then through another set of doors to the right in our parlor. There's cookies and water and all that, and I'd love for you to come and say hello. Now, if you're here today, we all come from different places. And some of you are here and you are comfortable in church or in this church in particular. And some of you are here and this is your first time in church in a long time or your first time ever and you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Some of you are here this morning and life is going great. And some of you are here this morning and life is not going well and you're just looking for something to hold on to. Some of you are here and you are bought into the Christian faith. This is a church that you're comfortable in. Maybe you came to faith here, that you're committed to the Christian faith. Some of you are exploring the faith, or maybe you're falling away from it and you have some questions. Some of you are here and you are openly antagonistic to it and you're just here because this is cheaper than buying your mom perfume, right? And you're here this morning for her. Look, here's all I want to say. No matter where you are on any of those spectrums, this is the church. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcomed here. And we're really glad that you're here this morning. A special little shout out to all the moms who are here. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but if you're a mom, can you just wave? You just raise your hand and wave. Let's give it up for them, for the moms. If you haven't already done this, I hope that you will find a mom and just tell her how much she means to you, especially if you know any single moms. I hope that you'll especially reach out to them today, give them a little bit of encouragement. I really struck it rich in the mom category. I had two wonderful grandmothers. I have a great mother myself who just was such a blessing to me and is still such a blessing to me. And I have an incredible mother for my kids, my wife Amy. We have a 5-year-old, an almost 2-year-old, and an 8-month-old. And I cannot imagine a better partner in raising those kids and a better wife and a better mom. This week, I took the three kids out to two different stores to get stuff ready because we celebrated Mother's Day yesterday morning. So we went out. This is the first time that I've been out with all three of the kids. I've got two of them in a stroller. I've got Boyd tagging along. And it was a disaster. I thought that it was a disaster, but I'll tell you the moment that I knew that it was a disaster was when we were in the parking lot and a random woman in a white Tahoe pulled up and she said, hang in there, you're doing great. Which means you're not doing great, right? We bought 4 helium-filled balloons for Amy. We made it home with 1 helium-filled balloon, and it is in the tree in our backyard, okay? That just kind of summarizes this whole deal. But Amy, I'll tell you, the thing that I've been most impressed with Amy over the last 5 years since we had our first kid is how a part of who she is has begun to be wrapped up in her identity as a mom. Now, her whole identity is not in being a mom. She has an identity in lots of other areas too. But I've watched her change, and I've watched part of her purpose become being a mom. A part of her purpose become motherhood. And specifically, what that looks like is that she is so intentional about making sure that our kids in this moment are loved and nurtured and cared for and all those things in a way that I try to do, but I can't the way that she can. And not only is she focused on this moment, but she's also already thinking about the future. And she's already thinking about, as hard as it is to think about, how are we preparing, particularly Boyd as he's getting older, to launch one day? I mean, how is it that what we're doing now, the experiences that we're giving him, are preparing him to one day be out of our house? And this is where it kind of comes full circle, how are we preparing our kids to be able to identify their purpose one day? To be people who are living outside of the home, and they're people who recognize that they do have a meaning in this world, that they're here for a purpose, and how do we help them to grow up to be men and women who have discovered that? Because again, all of us, we want to believe that we have a purpose. We want to believe there's meaning in life. But a lot of us, we get stuck. And maybe we think that we could have had a purpose in the past, but we missed it. Or maybe we think that we could have a purpose one day, but it's not quite here yet. But I think that a lot of times we really struggle to figure out what exactly, other than just going through the day-to-day grind, what am I doing here? We've been looking at this timeline over the last few weeks. We've been talking about the power of living in the present. The power of saying three words, which we'll see in the scripture again today, here I am, and the power of living in the moment. And once again, today when we're looking at purpose, I think that a lot of us, we think that our purpose was sometime in the past, and somehow we missed it. Like, we think when I graduated, before I had the kids and before I had the job, that maybe I was supposed to do Teach for America, or maybe I was supposed to do the Peace Corps or AmeriCorps. Maybe at some point I was supposed to have a purpose. Maybe I was supposed to go down a different career path. But, like, that was in the past, and I'm just worried that I've missed it. And now I've settled into my routine, and I'm just feeling like I'm just, again, working the schedule. It's just the same daily grind. And maybe I could have had a meaning, maybe I could have had purpose, but I just feel like maybe I missed it. People get stuck in the past. And other people get stuck in the future. And they think, you know, one day I'm gonna have meaning, or one day I'm gonna have purpose. But, you know, now I'm just in high school, but one day, or I'm just in college, but one day, or now I have high schoolers or I have college students, but one day I'm gonna have purpose. But we've been talking about how the power, there's power in not living like this, but instead in living like this. And recognizing the way that life is best lived is living fully in the present. It's living a little bit in the past, certainly learning from it, and it's living a little bit in the future, certainly preparing for it, but that truly where life is lived and where we experience the presence of God is not in the past and it's not in the future, but it's right here. What I want to suggest to all of you this morning, I think that you know this, but maybe this morning is just a reminder that you have a purpose, not just in the past, you have a purpose right here in the present. You know, sometimes I think that we miss that all of us have that. Sometimes we think that life is kind of like Twins. Y'all remember the movie Twins? Y'all remember this? This was my go-to movie back in the day. Like at the video store when I'd go and there wasn't anything to rent, like this was the movie that I would always go to. And the premise for this movie is great. Here's the basic premise. The premise is that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, were created in a laboratory. And they took all of the best genes from the mom and the dad, and they put all of them in Arnold, and they put all the worst genes in Danny, right? So Danny's just like the leftovers, okay? This is not the way that life actually works. But if you're not careful, you can fall into the temptation of thinking, yes, some people have a great calling in life. Some people are going to make a big impact. Some people have a purpose. But I'm just not sure. Maybe I'm just part of the leftovers. The truth that I want to remind you of this morning is that that's not true. That every one of us who are here have an important purpose in life. And look, if you're here this morning, and again, you're on that end of the spectrum where you're not sure that you buy into this Jesus thing and all of those things, what I want to say to you this morning is look, that's fine. I think that this morning is going to be helpful to you too. Because whether you believe that you have a purpose or not, I think that you at least want to believe that. So we're going to walk through a story this morning about a guy who found his purpose. And what I want to pay less attention to is what exactly his purpose is, and more attention to how it is that he discovered it. So no matter where you are in life, whether you're a little Miles here who doesn't quite understand me yet, right? We're going to baptize him in a few minutes, right? Or whether you're one of Miles' grandparents, right? No matter where you are, I think this morning we can be reminded that God has a purpose for us where we are, and let's walk through how it is we can discover it. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. There are black Bibles that are scattered throughout the chapel. Those are Bibles that you can take home with you. If you don't have your own Bible, grab one of those black Bibles and take it home with you. There are also blue pew Bibles, which are in the pew in front of you. So grab those, and here are the page numbers. And we're going to walk through the beginning of Exodus 3, which is the passage that Vance read for us a minute ago. All right, let's go ahead and look at that first verse. All right, here's our main character, Moses. Moses grew up in Egypt. He grew up in the household of Pharaoh, but there were some complications. He ended up leaving Pharaoh's house, moves out into the wilderness, and he's keeping the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, who was the priest of Midian. It's just an ordinary day, okay? Moses leads his flock beyond the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, which is the mountain of God. Moses is not expecting anything to happen today. It's just an ordinary day. He's walking through the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's flock of sheep. There, the angel of the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. Moses looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Okay, this is super important. We fly over this so frequently. Do not miss this, okay? The Lord appeared to Moses, but look at how the Lord appeared to Moses. He appeared to him in a blazing bush that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. The Lord did not appear to Moses, at least initially, in a big lightning bolt. He didn't appear to Moses with a big voice booming out in front of him. God does that to other people in the Bible, not for Moses. He appears to Moses in a bush that's on fire, but isn't being consumed. Here's what I want you to note. He didn't appear to Moses in a really obvious way at first. And oftentimes, this is the way that God appears to us. Oftentimes, what God does is God often shows up in a way that's a bit unusual, but it's not undeniable. I think a lot of times we're waiting for that big, bold, undeniable voice where God tells us exactly what to do. But often the way that God shows up is not in an undeniable way, but just in a way that's a little bit unusual. You know, maybe a friend says something to you that's kind of out of character for him, and it stirs something inside of you, and you think, maybe God's trying to tell me something in that. Or when I was a junior in college, I was walking through campus one time, and I saw a bumper sticker that I had never seen before. And at this time in my life, I was beginning to feel like maybe my life wasn't headed in the right direction, and some things were beginning to stir. And the bumper sticker said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Again, it's not God slapping me over the head, but when I saw it, it stirred inside of me in kind of an unusual way, and it wasn't God appearing to me in an undeniable way, but things were just happening that seemed a little bit unusual inside of me. So Moses sees this thing that's a little bit unusual, and here's what Moses decides to do. Moses said, I must turn aside. Now look, Moses could have kept going, right? Moses could have kept walking, but he sees this as a little bit unusual, and he makes the decision, something inside of him says, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. And then when he turns aside, that's when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. And that's when God called out to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He didn't just all of a sudden randomly cry out, Moses, Moses. It was when Moses saw something unusual, turned aside, and then that's when God begins to speak to him. And this is what he says. Moses, Moses. I'm sorry, that's all he said right there. Moses, Moses, that's right. And then God said to him, Moses said, here I am. And these are the three words that we're seeing all throughout the scripture, that when people say these three words, it tends to radically change the trajectory of their lives. Moses is walking, all of a sudden he sees something unusual, he stops, God calls to him, and he simply says, here I am. And then God said to him, come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said, look, this is a special place. Something important is about to happen. And he said further, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. This is an intimidating thing, right? And then the Lord said, I've observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know they're suffering. So this is what's prompted God to have this little intervention. This is what's prompted God to have this conversation, is that God has seen, God knows about the suffering of his people. And then he goes further. And I've come down to deliver the people from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land that's good and broad and take them into a land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has come down to me. I've seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I'll send you. I'll send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Hey, God sees the suffering, but then God doesn't just work in isolation to go and handle the suffering himself. What does he do? He calls Moses and he says, Moses, I'm going to send you. And there's something else really important that we've got to see here. Something, again, we often miss, but it's all throughout the scripture, and I think that we see it in our own lives too, is I wouldn't have set the world up this way, but the way that God set up the world is that God prefers to pursue his purposes through people. God could have just gone and worked in Pharaoh's heart to deliver the Israelites. God could have just sent the plagues on his own. But what God does over and over again throughout the scriptures is that God prefers to pursue his purposes through people. And it wasn't just true then, it's also true now. That there are many things in the world that we wish God would just snap his finger and take care of. But the way that God tends to work is that he prefers to pursue his purposes through people. So then this is how Moses responds. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And you see we've highlighted the question mark here. Because this is the first of four questions that Moses has for God. I want to highlight that to point out, look, we often forget this, but in the Jewish faith and in the Christian faith, God actually welcomes questions. If you're here this morning and the reason that you're far from the church or you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing is because you think that you can't ask questions, the truth is that all throughout the scripture, God actually encourages people to ask questions. This is one of four questions that Moses asked God, and God enters into a dialogue with him. So now let's go back and let's look at this conversation they just had. Again, focusing less on Moses' purpose and focusing more on what your purpose might be and how it is that this conversation went. Here's the first thing that happened. The first thing that happened is that God moves towards suffering. He's not just moving towards Moses. Ultimately, he's moving towards the suffering of the Israelites, and he's going through Moses to get to them. God is always moving towards suffering. But then after God moves towards suffering, here's what happens. God moves, and then Moses pauses to look. Again, it's something just a little bit unusual. And he stops, and he takes a moment, and he looks. And this, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is where many of us get stuck. We don't take those moments just to stop and pause and to hear what it is that God might be saying. So God moves, and then Moses pauses, and then look at what God does. Then God speaks to Moses. He doesn't speak to Moses before Moses pauses. Moses pauses, God speaks to Moses, and then after God speaks, here's what Moses does. Moses asks God questions. And again, this is where I think a lot of us also get stuck, because we think that it's audacious of us to ask God questions, but all throughout the scriptures, people do that. If you have questions, you have to ask them. God speaks, then Moses asks questions, and then God sends Moses towards the suffering. God is headed towards the suffering, and now he sends Moses towards it also. And then here's the last step. What does Moses do? Well, Moses then moves towards the suffering also. This is the way that this whole calling thing works. This is the way that we discover our purpose. First, God moves, and then through a series of conversations with God, then we end up moving too. So if you're not quite sure what your calling is, what your purpose is, I'm going to encourage you just to do these three things. These three things. Just to pause, to ask questions, and then to start moving. Just pause. Take a few moments each day, and we're going to walk through this process in a second. Take a few moments each day to pause, to ask God questions, and then to start moving. Even if you don't know exactly where you're going, Moses certainly didn't know how this whole Egypt-Pharaoh thing was going to work out, but he started moving. Pause, ask questions, and start moving. Okay, now we're going to get super practical. And again, if you're here and you're a Christian, then you've got to believe that there is a deep purpose that God has for your life. But even if you're not here, you're here and you're not a Christian, I think this is still going to be helpful. If you want to know how it is that you determine what your purpose is, then I'm going to encourage you to ask just two questions. We've talked about this a little bit before, but we're going to go a little bit deeper in it this morning. Just two questions. The first question is this one. What breaks your heart? I mean, when you think about the world, I mean, start with the whole world. then go to our country, go to our city, to your neighborhood, to your home. What are the things in the world that break your heart? And here's what I'm going to encourage you to do, very practically. I'm going to encourage you, when you get home, at some point today or some point this week, to take a piece of paper, turn it this direction, and on the left side, write that at the top. What breaks your heart? And then just to write all of the answers down here. All the answers of all of the things in the world that break your heart. And it's probably going to be overwhelming. It's probably going to be more things than you could ever take care of, right? More things than we will ever see resolved in our lifetime, in our generation. All the things that break your heart. Will you take just 5 seconds now and think about that? Just 5 seconds. What breaks your heart? And then over here, what makes your heart beat fast? I mean, what is it that you love? What is it that you love doing? Like, these are the things that, like, you think about and they make you sad. What are the things that you do and they make you happy? They make your heart beat fast. These are the things that you stay awake at night thinking about in a good way. These are the things that get you up in the morning. What makes your heart beat fast? What do you love? Will you take 5 seconds and think about that? This week, make this list. And make this list. And, you know, I thought about actually making a list for us this morning, but two things. One, we're not in the youth ministry, and like having y'all call and respond stuff doesn't always work. But two, I have terrible handwriting and I can't spell things, so it's gonna be like a cooking show, okay? So here is a sample list, okay? Here are some of the things that break people's hearts. Addiction. Or poverty, or just people being mean, meanness. And again, what's on your list? If you were making a list, what would you put on there? And then on the other side, what makes your heart beat? I put down some things that I know for people in this congregation. Business. Business isn't just a job, but you actually love it, right? Relationships or sports. So once you've got your list, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. This is where the magic comes in. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Once you've got your list, start making connections, drawing lines between the two, right? So if you love business and what breaks your heart is poverty, and yeah, I'm going to encourage you to actually do this week and draw a line between the two. And what could go right there? I mean, if what breaks your heart is kids in downtown Dallas, West Dallas, in poverty, and what you're good at and what you love is business, well, what could go right here? Well, lots of things. I mean, one thing is that you make a boatload of money and you give a bunch of it away, right? And you're working in your business not to make money just for yourself, but to give it away. One of the other things could be what Todd and Abby Williams, who are heroes in the Dallas Independent School District, are doing. And that is that they're using their business knowledge to make an impact on the school system now, and they're leading that charge. What is it that you could do if it was these two? Or maybe it's addiction and relationships. Maybe what you get involved with there is one of the recovery communities here at the church. We have a recovery community with several AA groups that meet, so if you're an addict yourself, that's an opportunity. We also have a Celebrate Recovery group, which walks anybody who's struggling with anything through the 12-step program. You don't have to be an addict to be involved with that. So maybe you get involved and you become a sponsor. But for you, where is it that these things line up? You know, for me, here's what breaks my heart. Here's what breaks my heart. This is why I believe in this so much. This has helped me. Here's what breaks my heart. What breaks my heart is people walking away from the church without having ever truly experienced Jesus. Because that was true for me. And when I was 18, I went off to college. I'd been in the church my whole life, but I had never actually experienced the gospel. I had never actually seen how good, how deep this truly is. For me, it was just a habit. And I almost walked away from it completely. And I see people do that all the time. They walk away from the church and they think they're walking away from Jesus and they're walking away from a plastic, cheap version of Christianity that didn't fulfill the promises that people said that it would because they never actually tasted the goodness of who he is. What makes my heart beat fast? Well, I like doing this. I like talking in front of people, and I like relationships. So where do those two things line up? Well, they line up in doing what I'm doing, right? For you, Where do those two things line up? All right, if you're still stuck, I'm going to make a suggestion. And this is where, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I'm going to push you a little bit, okay? If you're still stuck here, here's what I want to suggest to you. It is really difficult to know yourself if you don't know God. And what the Greeks say is that God is what we live and move and have our being in. We live and move and have our being in. Knowing yourself without knowing God is like being a fish that tries to understand themselves without understanding water. You cannot fully understand yourself unless you understand God. And the more you understand God, the more you understand about yourself. So if you want to get deeper into this question, ask questions not just about yourself, but search the scripture and in prayer and in community, learn more about God and you will learn more about yourself. Learn what makes his heart beat and you'll learn what makes your heart beat too. And it's the same thing over here. It's hard to know exactly what breaks our heart, and especially when it gets so many things, it gets so scattered. But once we begin to see what breaks God's heart, it helps to focus us a little bit too. And just, you know, I'm going to encourage you to read the scripture and to do all that stuff on your own, and we're going to do it here other Sunday mornings. But just one little thing, what breaks God's heart in the Old Testament over and over again is two things. Two things over and over again throughout the Old Testament. Orphans and widows. Over and over again. Orphans and widows is what breaks God's heart. So if you're not sure that you know how to complete this, I think maybe the first step is if you get to know God better, I promise you, you will get to know your answer to these questions better, which is going to get you closer to knowing what is my purpose? What am I doing here? And not just what will I be doing and not just what did I do, but today, what am I doing here? Which brings us back to moms. And we'll end in this way. We talk about God being Father a lot. For good reason, that's what the Bible calls God most of the time, Father. But throughout the scripture, there are a few times when there's feminine imagery for God. And many of the Christian mystics throughout the centuries have often imagined God as a female. Because, of course, God does not have a gender, right? I mean, there's no divine anatomy up there, right? I mean, God, when he became incarnate, became a man, because he had to become man or woman. You got to pick one, right? He becomes man, but God is not male or female. So with me for just a second, imagine God as mother. If you're imagining God as mother, what would make God as mother's heartbreak? Picture God not as your divine father, but as your divine mother. What would make God's heartbreak? Is her children, right? I mean, what would make God's heart break? Is if her children were far from her. Or if her children, like orphans and widows, were suffering. Or imagine God as mother. What would make God's heart beat? What would make God's heart beat if you imagine God as a mother? Again, it's going to be a lot of things. But one of the things is going to be your kids. So what would she be all about? Bringing those lost children back to her. You know, there's this incredible image in Matthew and in Luke. It's one of the feminine images for God, and it's something that Jesus says. He's talking to the Jews, and he says this, "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing." So often I've longed to gather you back to me as a hen gathers her chicks underneath her wing. You know, hens will actually do this. When there's danger, when there's a fox, or when there's a storm, or when there's a fire, she'll put her wing out and the chicks will come up underneath her to protect the chicks from the storm, to protect the chicks from the fox, or to protect the chicks from the flames. In fact, there have even been accounts of farmers going and going through the rubble from a fire and finding a burned up mother hen with live chicks underneath her burnt up wing. And that is what God wants to do for us. To bring us to him. To protect us in the storm and all of those things, but also to send us out with purpose. to help us to discover what it is that he has called us to do. Because what if, what if, what if? What if all of these things on this side, all the things collectively, all of the things that break our heart about the world, what if all of these things, what if God is calling somebody to meet each one of them? I mean, what if all of these things actually in God's mind has somebody assigned to them? I mean, Moses was assigned to Egypt. What if all of these things that break our heart about the world, what if one of the 7 billion people on the planet, each of them is assigned to one of these things, and if all 7 billion of those people were mobilized, if all of these things would be taken care of? Now, that's not going to happen, right? But what if a handful of us just paused and we asked questions and we started moving? We're going to start knocking some things off this list. God is moving towards the suffering of the world. And if you stop and listen, you're going to find out that he wants to take you with him. Let's pray. God, thank you, first of all, that you give us purpose and meaning. That you're not just working in isolation, but that you, for whatever reason, want to work through us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be a part of your work. God, help us to be able to discern what that is, to be able to know how it is that you're calling us to move towards suffering along with you. God, we thank you for the men and women who have come before us, for the men and women that you have used to help get us to this moment, and in particular today we pray for the mothers in our lives, for our biological mothers, but for the other women who have been mother figures in our lives. And God, we pray that you bless, particularly, Lord, all the moms that are here today. Lord, will you bless them? And will you help them to be a blessing to other people? We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.